God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
God says, I want you to go into the promised land, right? Now, Moses sends people up to view the promised land, but notice their observation is one that is extremely limited, and it is condensed in verse 32. No, let's go to verse 31. It says, but the men that went up with Caleb said, we are not able to go up against the people. Listen, for they are stronger than we are. You believe that debt is stronger than you, and that's why you can't get free. You actually believe that you have to pay your minimum due on your credit card and brag, I ain't never missed a payment. $10 on a $5,000 balance. I love American Express. They put it on there. If you pay the minimum balance due, you'll pay the whole thing off in 47 years. You look at every financial obstacle in your life and you declare it's bigger than you. You know what the words of defeat are? I can't afford it. You look at everything God wants to do and you say, I can't afford it. That's the words of defeat. Yeah, I know some of you are saying, well, what if I can't afford it? It's a perception. Change your speech. It's what you say that determines what you do. Say, well, what if I can't afford it? Don't say I can't afford it. Amen. Here's what you say that's in line with Scripture. I don't need that right now. Amen. Don't say I can't afford it because that's a negative. Say, I don't need that right now. Devil will say, how you know you don't need it? Because I don't have it. Philippians 4, God said he'll supply what I need. If I don't need it, I don't have it. If I have it, I need it. Hallelujah. You have people, oh, glory to God. You have people in your life that you need. How do you know? They're there. Doesn't mean they're going to be positive. They may be negative, but you need that negative person to help you appreciate the positive. Glory to God. I've had teachers who were idiots call themselves giving me 20 chapters to read. They don't know I don't sleep. I read that stuff at night. I get my papers done the moment they're posted, and I'm the only one in the class. And the teacher figures, I'm going to give you more. She just told me this week, you're going to be the one to keep me on my toes. I said, yep. She said, when you do your three presentations, don't do more than three references. I said, how about 50? No, wait a minute. I said, how about more references? She said, well, yeah, you can do more, but I don't want 50. I said, how about 49? Now, some of you are saying, well, praise the Lord, just do what they require. No. I'm finished my presentation. It's not due till week 7. I'm finished my presentation. I have 13 references. They wanted 10 slides on the PowerPoint presentation. I got 23. Why? Because if you develop a spirit of excellence and a spirit of not compromising, it will reflect in every area of your life. And see, we treat our finances that way. Just do enough to get by. Just give God the obligatory dollar. He'll be satisfied. You've been here long enough. You walked around long enough. Poverty is a mindset. My mother used to say, your clothes don't have to be new. Just keep them clean. Even if you had patches, it didn't matter. They were clean and you had a crease in your khakis. I still put a crease in my jeans. People look, why you got a crease? My godson, well, Dad, why you got a crease in your jeans? Because that's how I came up. I came up tucking my shirt in and putting creases in my pants. I'm not going to be a bum, because when you dress like a bum, you feel like a bum. I had a pastoral mentor that said, when you get up, get dressed up. He wore a suit and tie every day. Why? Because it touches the mind. You know why our kids don't do well in school? Because they dress like bums. When you dress like a bum, you're going to feel like a bum. If you feel like a bum, you're going to act like a bum. I told Darius when he was in high school, I said, tomorrow, go to school and wear a shirt and tie. Make the teacher fall out at the door. Dad, I can't do that. I can't do that because the people are going to talk about me. I said, but do you understand that the image that you portray is what's important? Do you know the graduation from Exodus to Deuteronomy is all about image? You're my people. This is how you're supposed to. The Ten Commandments are about image. God's people are identified by how they live. What's the image of God's people? They don't have more than one God. They don't lie, they don't steal, they don't commit adultery, they don't go around murdering people, they honor their mothers and fathers, they remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, they sit home and rest on Saturday. Every time I talk about that, the amens die off. It's like, the children of Israel looked at God's blessing. Here's adding insult to injury. They went down and picked up grapes. The Bible said the grapes were so large it took two men to carry them on a pole. Whew. God, those are some big grapes. They had fruit that was just phenomenal. And they even came back and they said, surely the land flows with milk and honey. That's not literal, but that was a figurative way of saying that the land is prosperous. The dirt is so black, we can grow anything in it. There are nutrients in the ground. This is the most beautiful place we've ever seen. And then they decided that the blessing was not worth the challenge that the ites possessed. We decide as a culture that the debt is easier to amass than the financial freedom that comes with discipline. We would rather have the image. I want the image of having a Louis Vuitton. So rather than go to King of Prussia Mall and get one from the Louis Vuitton store, I'll go to Columbia Avenue and buy a Louis Vuitton. Why? Just so I can come in here with a knockoff and make you think, because that image is more important than reality. Oprah Winfrey was in Sweden and wanted to buy a $35,000 pocketbook. And the lady said, that bag's too expensive for you. Now, Oprah's worth $2.8 billion with a B. Oprah didn't argue with that woman. She didn't say, do you know who I am? Nope. She left and went to another store. See, the devil will come and tell you, you're not entitled to a debt-free life. You're supposed to have debt. You're supposed to be in bondage. We look at the ites and we determine we can't make it. Some of you even get payday loans, 1,000% interest, because you can't wait till the end of the week. Go get your taxes prepared and pay a fee to get your money right away. Now, you waited all year for that money. Now, you got to pay somebody to help you get it right away, and then it's gone in 2 or 3 days. How are my people destroyed? Love makes you twinkle-eyed, makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck, but it also makes you broke. When my godson was just going to school, I told him I'd help him while he was finishing school. Just give him a little something for his pocket. He went and got a girlfriend. The texts were coming furiously. Can you give me an advance? I said, boy, you're advanced for the next 4 years. I knew right then he had a girlfriend. When they parted ways, the request for money died. He was content now. And God is looking at what we do, and we're destroyed because nobody sat us down and taught us how to handle money. So then the charlatan preacher came in and painted this image of God and said, he's just going to drop money down on you every week, so just believe him. So we're looking at the ites, and as a culture, as a people, we're afraid of success. We put people down when they succeed. Oh. Well, I want to go to school. Oh, you're going to be the only person in our family that went to school. Oh, you think you something. No, I don't think I'm something. I'm going to get my degree, and it's going to put me in a position to start making six figures, because I'm convinced that God wants me to prosper. You have to stop being afraid to succeed. Are you going to leave some people behind? Yes, but be willing to prune your life. Learn the secrets of those who are successful. They only surround themselves with successful people. It's okay to see Pookie and them every now and then. Children of Israel stood right on the boundary of the promised land and made an observation, not about the enemies themselves, but about them. They said, we can't do it because we look like grasshoppers. That's how you knew what race they were. You never found the Japhethite putting themselves down. They said, we can't do it. We can't do it. And that's what we do. We say, we can't do it. We can't save. Most of us in here have no savings plan. We can't save. Because you say, I can't afford to put aside. For the Christian, the proper rule of financial disbursement, 10% to God first, 10% to you second, and the rest to your bills and responsibilities. We have no savings. Most of us in here live week to week, prayer to prayer. Lord, I sure hope nothing ain't gonna happen because I'm gonna lose my house. How'd you get in that position? How is your mortgage more than you take in a month? How did you get there? God gave me that house. No, he didn't. He knows you can't afford it. Well, it was a miracle. What, the debt? So here's God sitting in heaven. Well, I ain't got nothing else to do. Let me just put Eric in debt so he can't afford this, so he can be miserable, don't need to come to church because he has to work two jobs, and he'll have no joy, and he'll walk the floor every night, and the only time he'll be able to breathe successfully is after he pays his mortgage. So we act like it doesn't exist. Come to church. Have fun. Enjoy your life. Go on a trip knowing you can't afford it. And say, well, praise the Lord, it'll be there when I get back. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. We look at the ites and we determine that they're greater than we are. God gives us principles. The Bible is a book of principles and procedures. That's all it really is. It's not designed to make you feel good. It's designed to split soul from spirit, what you are and who you are. It's designed to teach you to stop functioning on what you are singularly and not function on who you are. But you have to do both. You appreciate your upbringing and your socialization. But there comes a time when you have to break from that training. That I'm not going to be miserable because it's my heritage. That everybody in my family is miserable. And so I'm going to be miserable because it's my birthright. No, we're looking at the ites and determining our future based upon current situations. We settle in to mediocrity. But you've been in here long enough. You've been in this position long enough. It's time to change. Faith means that I'll start dealing with God's principles, God's way. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve money. But most of us serve it. We've become slaves to money. If the weather is bad, you may not come to church. But Monday you'll go to work because you need to be paid. I don't need the touch from God, but I need to be paid. I will press my way, to use a Pentecostal euphemism, to my job. But there's no press coming to church. I used to say that as a pastor. I want to thank God you pressed your way. The Lord dealt with me. He challenged me. He said, stop saying that. You don't press your way into worship. I don't press my way to Disney. I enjoy that flight. I enjoy when it lands. When that pilot comes on and says, we are now beginning our descent into Orlando International Airport, everything inside me shouts hallelujah. There's no press. Why do you press to come to church? But you don't press to go to work. And you won't press to cash a check. Amen. We can't wait on the Lord, but we'll wait in line to cash that check. He says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, nor the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, and the doctrine which Jesus taught about godliness, he said, that man is proud, he doesn't know anything, and he runs around asking questions, and he has strife of words that develop envy, strife, railings, and evil surmising. He said, they are perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. And here's what they suppose, that gain is godliness. And we're living in that culture, beloved, where we're being programmed to think that the more stuff you have, the more God is smiling on you. Gain is godliness. He said, from such withdraw yourself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought, I love that passage. We brought into this world, and it is certain that we can carry. So why struggle to be what everybody else wants you to be? Why struggle with everybody? Here comes the newest fad. Watch this. Don't raise your hand again. But how many of you have an iWatch? An iWatch, Apple Watch, and an iPhone? Did you buy that iPhone because of the advertisement, or you just needed a phone? The advertisement proved to you that you needed all of those things. So the Apple keeps making new phones. Now it's up to the 10. And people actually waited in line for the 10. Listen now, it was not going to change who you talk to. And the person that you're calling doesn't know you have it because there's no difference. And when you drive up to Blue Mountain, you're still going to drop the call. Now, you just spent $1,250 for a phone that if you go down into the old certain neighborhoods, you drop the call. Because, listen, glory to God, that phone has nothing to do with the quality of your call. It's the carrier. It's the ability to receive direction. You are not going to have a different anointing because you're in a $70,000 car if your heart is dirty. It's the carrier. The heart is the carrier. The Holy Spirit, that's the person who's bringing you the reception. He's bringing the signals from God. You're not getting a better signal because you have more money. But who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Not the person with the fancy car, but he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor spoken deceitfully with his lips. It is holiness that makes me hear from God. Not what I have, but who I have. And then who has me. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Every time it snows, when I'm out pushing my little push plow and pushing snow out the way, I'm thanking God. I've never complained about snow. I say, God, thank you for my gloves. Let me tell you what I did this year. Glory to God. Thank God for Amazon.com. I'm telling you, that came from heaven. Don't you ever think Amazon.com is demonic. You can get salvation on Amazon.com. That's right. You put my name in, you'll get my book. You can get salvation on Amazon.com. I bought some heated gloves and heated socks. Yes, I did. They had batteries on. I was out shoveling snow. My hands were sweating. I was thanking God. God, thank you for the technology. I wasn't complaining about the snow. I was thanking God. Brothers came up to help me shovel, and I went outside and saw them shoveling. I walked over, put my foot on the snow. I said, stop shoveling. This is too much. I went and got the snowblower. I pushed the button. It started up. I said, thank God for the snowblower. I don't complain because God doesn't send anything that he has not prepared you for. Whatever comes in your life, God has already prepared you for it. That's why I tell people, I don't buy my ice melt in January. I buy mine in August. Because you prepare for war when the time of peace. You prepare for trouble when no trouble's going on. You pray now because when the trouble comes, you won't have time to pray. You've got to fight. Get yourselves together. Stop looking at the ice and look at the God who brought you this far. God didn't bring you this far to fail. He brought you this far to prove to you that he is with you and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. People laugh at me when I say I'm 30. They laugh at me because they think I'm joking. But I'm 30. Now watch this. My brain doesn't know how old I am. It'll go by how I treat myself. I went to my eye doctor for my yearly exam. I started wearing glasses in 1993. And I listened to people who said, oh, you know, your eyes start changing when you get old. And I wore them and I started realizing I couldn't even see with them on. And God started having me teach faith and trust. And I started saying what the word said. And every time I went to the eye doctor after that, they said, Mr. Lambert, your prescription is the same. When did you start wearing? 1993. It ain't changed. Okay. Went back last year. She said, your prescription's lighter this year because you don't need it the way you had it. It changed for the good. Listen to this. My optic nerves heard my 30-year-old pronouncement and started reverting back to clear vision. My blood pressure said, we only 30, and dropped down to 117 over 70 without meds. The Bible said you will have what you say. I don't look at the Amalekite of age and say, well, I'm 30 now, and I'm supposed to have these aches. God said, who told you that? I didn't tell you your body has to start falling apart. By faith, I eat right. By faith, I exercise. By faith, I do what's right. I get enough sleep. By faith, I take care of my temple. Why? Because I'm gonna live my full days. I'm not dying early. I'm not cutting it short. I'm living my full days. I'm not dying of consumption. I'm not dying of hamburger. I'm not dying of fast food. I'm not dying from French fries. I'm gonna close my eyes when God says it is finished. I'm coming home. Stop looking at the ites. You've been here long enough. Get yourself together. Glory to God. Who told you you had to stop working at 65? Who told you? It's one thing to stop the formal day-to-day job and then go get yourself something part-time. It's one thing to do that. It's another thing to sit in a rocking chair and wait for Jesus to come. I'm 65 now. All my kids are gone and nobody needs me. That's not time for you to sit around and feel it's time to party. Don't have no kids at home. Going to Australia. Don't have no kids at home. I'm going to Montego Bay. I don't need to sit around. Stop looking at the ites. Now's the time to make money. You don't have no kids. And that man walked out and left you. Good. Now's the time to make money. That woman walked away from you. It's all right. Now's the time to go ahead and make money. Now's the time to buy a house and flip it. Now it's time to step into business opportunity. Get yourself a Dunkin' Donut franchise, a Jiffy Lube franchise. Solomon tries to teach us principles. In Proverbs chapter 6, I'm going to read this to you out of another translation. It says, son, if you endorse a note for somebody else that you hardly know, guaranteeing his debt, you're in serious trouble. You may have trapped yourself by your agreement. Quick, get out of it if you possibly can. Swallow your pride. Don't let embarrassment stand in the way. Go and beg to have your name erased. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. If you can get out of this trap, you have saved yourself like a deer that escapes from a hunter or a bird from the nest. See, we mess up God's principles. Don't assume somebody else's debt. Don't co-sign. Solomon says, if you do it, you are in serious trouble. Because if that person says, I'm not paying it, they're coming to you. Well, what if I have to help my kids? Don't co-sign. Give them a little bit towards it, but don't co-sign. When you break God's laws, you suffer. Notice what he said. Take a lesson from the ants. Learn their ways. They have no king to make them work, yet they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. There's the savings plan. You know you're going to retire. You know one other thing about the ant? Not only are they industrious and hardworking, they're also blind. They can't see one inch in front of them. That's why you see them in a line. Because they're following the leader who's sending a signal. And they just follow that leader. See, if you ever kill the one in the front, watch them all scatter. That's why the Bible said, if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. But they're the hardest working. They're the James Brown of the insect world. The hardest working insects ever. And you watch them. They're carrying whole leaves on their back. And if you listen hard enough, you'll hear them singing. Because they're industrious. They like working because they know when everybody else is out trying to find food in the snow and ice, they down in that hole eating filet mignon of leaves. What happens to us? We like poverty. We like being broke. That's why we stay in it. We've been taught to stay broke. We've been taught to look for get-rich-quick schemes. We fall for multi-level marketing traps, looking to get rich on somebody else's shoulders. Anything easy, but Solomon said, consider the ant. Listen to what he says. He said they labor hard all summer, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 8. They labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. He said, but you, this is what Solomon said, not me. He said, but you, all you do is sleep. He said, when will you wake up? Now you know he's talking about us. You know he is. I only got 13 hours sleep last night. I got to go to Starbucks to get me a double shot espresso. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, all you do is sleep. He said, when you going to wake up? Let me sleep a little longer. Sure, just a little more. Listen to what he said. He said, and as you sleep, poverty creeps upon you like a robber and destroys you. Want attacks you in full armor. There's some of our people that own convenience stores in neighborhoods and they don't open until 11 o'clock. Then there's some other descendants of Japheth who open up at 6 a.m. They don't like those people because they're stealing customers. No, you sleep. And while you're asleep, Solomon said, poverty is coming upon you. Well, I need you to come and hang this door for me. I'll be there. What time you coming? About 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. I'm a morning person. Well, you know, listen. He said, let me describe for you, verse 12. Let me describe for you a worthless and a wicked man. First, he is a constant liar. He signals his true intentions to his friends with eyes and feet and fingers. In other words, he gives body language that's not accurate. He's a liar. And see, we like to stay in poverty and signal a lying message that we're okay by presenting aesthetics. A $300 hairdo, a $60 nail refilling. The lady goes on TV, Jimmy Choo shoes, you got to have them. Everybody got to have them. Everybody's got to have Jimmy Choo. So all the women in the audience went on board Jimmy Choo shoes. Jimmy Choo shoes are about $650 a pair to start. Then two episodes later, she started teaching on debt. And the women are sitting there, you told us to buy $600 shoes and now we're in debt. Why? Because we're trying to impress people. You see these shoes that I have on? These shoes cost $1,375. That's right. $1,375, that's what they cost. Because I'm a child of God. Solomon said, this is the one thing you know about impoverished people. They lie. Now, if you move the decimal point, you'll get the cost of my shoes. I didn't lie to you. I just didn't put the decimal point in the right place. And that's what we do. We portray what we are not. Why would you live in the projects and have a $52,000 car? You're in a high rise in the projects, and your car costs more than your apartment. You're a liar. How do you get out of this trap? I think that you want to be free. In Proverbs 22:7, it says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. They're the only people that make you afraid. There is one agency of the United States government, when you get a letter from them, you call Jesus, Mary, Joseph, God, Gabriel, Michael. You take a shot at everybody. And that is the Department of the Treasury. Internal Revenue Service. If they write you when it's not tax return time, they're the only government agency that determines you're guilty. You have to prove your innocence. If you are a murderer, the court says you're innocent until you're proven guilty. The IRS says you are guilty and prove to us you're innocent. They are the Hittites of today. They breed fear. And we live in that bondage. But you serve a God who wants you free. And so what does he do? He puts principles in this book. Listen carefully, and I'm going to close with this. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 23, it says, and these are the numbers of the bands that were ready, armed to the war. And came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him. according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800, ready, armed for the war. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100. I need you to pay particular attention to the descriptions. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800, ready armed for the war. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. And Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. And Zadok, the young mighty man of valor, and his father's house, 22 captains. And of the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000. For hitherto the greatest part of them had kept the ward of the house of Saul. And the children of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. And of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and make David king. Listen carefully. Verse 33. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, experts in the war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. Glory to God. And of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them with shield and spear, 37,000. And of the Danites, expert in war, 28,600. And of Asher, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, 40,000. And on the other side of the Jordan, of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half tribe of Manasseh, with all manner of instruments and of war for the battle, 120,000. All these men of war that could keep rank came with perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And the rest of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Now listen to this. All these tribes were represented by warriors. He talks about their weaponry, the fact that they were not double-minded, the fact that they could keep rank, which meant that when they marched, they stayed in line. But watch this. In verse 32, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Listen to this. The heads of them were only 200. Doesn't even talk about them having weapons. It said they understood the times. Brothers and sisters, if you don't have somebody in your life that understands the times to give you counsel on what to do, all your other weapons don't mean a thing. Every time God drops a blessing in your life, if you don't have somebody to teach you what to do with that blessing, it's going to be gone in a matter of weeks. Issachar was the only one that the Bible said they had an understanding of the time. Do you understand the times? 2 weeks ago, the members of the United States Congress approved a tax overhaul plan. Most of us don't even care about it. You don't even know what you're going to lose. You're just going to wait till 2019 and see what comes. You haven't talked to anybody. You haven't made plans. You haven't seen how it's going to affect your pension, your income, anything. You just go along with it because you got the armor of God, but you have no men of Issachar in your life. Nobody to tell you to start putting things aside, because one day, no one to teach you how to set aside. Those of you who want to get married, you want spiritual counseling. You may even get, you know, certain counseling to help you function in those areas of intimacy. But I doubt that you're going to get financial counseling. I doubt that you're going to sit with a banker or a financial person to learn how to make the transition from a single account to a joint account. I doubt that you're going to get some expertise on what to do with your money. God said, my people are destroyed because they don't know what to do with it. Churches throughout America are falling financially because pastors are so arrogant that they think the anointing is going to teach them what to do with money. They come, most of them come from backgrounds without any financial training. And now they've suddenly been thrust into budgets of millions of dollars and don't know what to do with it, so the church suffers. Because pride won't allow them to go and get the information to manage. As I shared with the board a couple of weeks ago, income comes from God. God sets income, but expenses come from us. We determine how we spend it, and we do so with wisdom, so that the bottom line is always in the plus. How are you living? How are you living today? Are you living like the children of Israel, and you look at these directions from God as Hittites? Oh, I need my money. Really? We're getting ready to go. All men are liars. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's. Who's the earth belong to? Doesn't belong to Congress, doesn't belong to the president, doesn't belong to the Senate, doesn't belong to the Supreme Court. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 14. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all of this. And in your hand is power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. You don't own anything. Paul picks up on this and teaches the church at Corinth. He says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast? Hear me, brothers and sisters. All we are stewards of God's resources. And we will stand in judgment for how we handle his environment. His environment. That means the world, the trees, everything. We will stand in judgment for how we handle his people. How do you treat them? Do you put people out your life? I ain't talking to them no more. What if God said to you, I ain't talking to you no more? Would you like that? So how do you think that person feels? He said, do unto others as you would have me do to you. And money doesn't belong to you. When David was giving this offering with the people, he said, who are we that we should give you so willingly after this sort? For all things come from you, and of your own are we giving to you. You know why it's so difficult for you to give an offering in church? Because you think it's yours. How many of you have ever used this phrase? Well, you know, you got to give the government what's theirs. When it's time for taxes, you got to give them what's theirs. You've already declared that something belongs to them. Got to give PICO what's theirs. Got to give PGW what's theirs. But what about God? What about his? Watch. You don't pay your PICO bill, they will. You don't pay your gas bill, they will. Don't pay your car insurance, they will. Don't pay your tickets, they will boot your car. Then you got to pay to get the boot off. See, we think that if we don't give God what's his, he's not going to do anything. Next week, I'm going to show you how to escape bondage. But it takes faith. It takes faith to give God what's his. My dad used to give me an allowance every Saturday. Every Saturday. My dad had an allowance for me. Even if he was not home, I had to go to his house. he would put it in the cabinet, like third or fourth plate down, he would put my money right in that area. Never a time when my allowance wasn't in that kitchen, in that cabinet. Never a time. When I started working, he stopped the allowance. I went to his house. I went into the kitchen. There was nothing there. We didn't have. I had to wait to call him on the phone when he got home. And I said, "Dad, you forgot my money." He said, "You working now?" I said, "What's that got to do with my?" He said, "No, I'm not. I don't do that now." He said, "You're working." And see, we're asking God to keep pouring blessings out on us that he did when we first got saved. You've had so much word put in you. He's saying, walk into your promise. You've been broke long enough. He's not giving out allowance anymore. You got to stand up and stop being bound.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1218A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Praise the Lord. I'm Bishop Eric Lambert of the Bethel Deliverance International Church. We want to invite you to come share with us in the blessing of Good Friday service and, of course, Resurrection Day. For the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the time when we commemorate the death of Jesus and his powerful resurrection. We know that without his death, we would not be able to walk in the liberty and the peace of God. And we know without his resurrection, we would not be able to have access to the throne of God, having an intercessor to pray for us and a powerful Savior to walk beside us. You see, here at Bethel, we have services that are designed to lift the name of Jesus. On Good Friday, we will gather to commemorate what Jesus did on the cross in shedding his precious blood to wash away our sins. On Resurrection Sunday, we gather together at 6 in the morning and then again at 10 a.m. so that we may sing songs of worship and praise and thank our mighty God for raising Jesus from the dead. The Bible said, if the powers of darkness had known that Jesus would rise from the dead, they would have never crucified him. I'm glad that God can keep a secret. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he got up with all power in his hand, went and took the keys from the devil. So we are going to celebrate. For us, it's not Easter, it's Resurrection Day. So we invite you to join us. The information will be on the screen, and I look forward to sharing not only Good Friday, but also the power of Resurrection Day. God bless you, and we'll see you in church.
Plan now to join us for Good Friday service, Friday, March 30th at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and for Resurrection Day services, Sunday, April 1st at 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. So come join us as we celebrate our risen Lord.